saved a potential nugget.
And let's talk about those 3 months for a minute, right? Again, 90 days is sort of the golden period for leaders to set into organizations or shift careers. But give us a sense of what those 90 days were like. How did you prepare for your first show?
I think I started watching a lot more comedy. And I joined they had a small stand-up comedy course in London. Now, what happened, I don't remember actually learning anything there. And I don't think the people on that course actually thought I had any potential. But what happened was you found a bunch of guys with whom you could both struggle together. So there were 10 of us who really wanted to be comedians, and we would go to the same open mic nights, and we would talk to each other and try and get shows together. So that camaraderie kind of helped build that platform from which to leap off.
And 250 shows in 10 months is like, it's about 25 shows a month, which is like a show a night, roughly, right?
Yeah.
That's brutal.
You know, I was I was the hardest working comedian in the UK. And normally there's 500 comedians competing for the same gig. I was the kind of guy who would go anywhere, anytime for no money. And a lot of the shows were outside London. So, for example, I would leave London at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, drive to some city in the UK with a bunch of other comedians, do a show there. I was nervous, I wouldn't eat, probably couldn't afford food at that point. Drive back, get dropped off in the outskirts of London at 2 o'clock in the morning. I would pay the driver my share of petrol. I mean, keeping in mind, I wasn't getting paid for any of these shows. I would change 3 different buses to get back home and get home at about 4 o'clock in the morning. I did this every single day for an entire year. But at the end of that year, you have no money, no friends, no relationships, and no life. But every single comedy promoter in the country knows your name. That's where you start from. But the thing is that I think the beauty or why it worked was I actually had no idea how difficult it was or how low the probability of success was. So as they say, ignorance is bliss. So I just kept my head down and I kept going at it. But even after a year of doing that, I went completely broke. So I took up a job with a recruitment firm. I used to work in the day and perform at night. But I think an important thing to keep in mind is that in my head, you know, often they say, oh, okay, I'm going to do it as a hobby, you know, and I'll get a job. In my head, I may have been spending 8 hours at work and 10 minutes on stage, but in my head, I was doing stand-up comedy. And the job was on the side to support me until I could get to a point where I didn't need to do it anymore.
Back to this gap here, I'm curious about what gave you this conviction that stand-up comedy was your calling or sweet spot, as they call it. The reason I ask is often when people are confronted with such a situation, there's always a stop-loss point where you say, you know, enough tried, let's go back to the regular life. Did you have that point? Did you come close to that border?
Or? I think the upside is that what you call the regular life, I knew I never wanted to go back to that. So it's like having a fire under your backside and something else in front. Even if what's in front isn't motivating you as much, you know that what's behind is something you never want to go back to.
Hmm.
You know, there's that old saying, which I've always believed, that if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. Too many of us sit in that boat and put our foot out and, you know, touch the water and then say, oh, I'll take a call. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes you've got to just jump out. I believe that if you love what you do, you get good at it. And if you get good at it, the money will come. The problem is, in most artistic fields, that gap between loving it and the money coming is indefinite, and we don't know if it will ever come.
Great.
So that's the period you have to last out. For me, I was just passionate about stand-up comedy. I loved doing it. There was nothing I would rather be doing. And because I had managed to save up enough to get me through 2 years, I knew I could go that distance without having to fall back. Also, I had an extremely supportive environment. My parents completely supported me. Now, 10 years later, they tell me, listen, we thought you'd do it as a hobby and stop in 6 months, but you just kept going on. But at no point did they ever make me feel that maybe I should do something else. So that was invaluable.
The key takeaway for me in this nugget was that in creative fields, it takes a while for the commercial case to become evident often. Till that point in time, one needs to be pragmatic and ensures that the cash flow needs are taken care of. The related point here is that if you expect the creative field to financially support you from day one, that pressure can actually come in the way of you having fun and really impact the creativity, and that could set you off on a negative loop. A similar point actually came up in my earlier conversation with Amish Tripathi, where he spoke about how he quit his job only when his royalty check overtook the salary check. Thank you for listening.